Welcome to Fleischmann Hillard's Europe podcast, where the Brussels team and a variety of guests discuss the intersection of European politics, policy and communication, on and offline.
Hello, I'm Stefan Moller, and welcome to the latest instalment of the FH Europe podcast. Today I have the pleasure of speaking to Caroline Vunnelich, who leads the Fleischmann Hillard Brussels office. FH Brussels celebrated its 20th anniversary last year, and Caroline herself is celebrating 20 years with the firm this year. So it's fair to say there's probably no one better place to provide insights on how the PA profession and the environment in which it operates has changed over the last 20 years and where it's heading. Over to you, Caroline. First question, how has public affairs developed over the last 20 years?
Well, it's developed enormously. No surprises there. In fact, as I look back to my time arriving in Brussels in 1991, I seem to spend most of the 90s trying to go around and explain to potential clients about why the EU was important. Today, it's quite noticeable. No one asks that question anymore. Everybody knows it's important. People might not always like what goes on here. They might not always agree with some of the decision-making processes. They might even find it frustrating. But there is no denying that what happens in Brussels, what gets decided in Brussels, is of extraordinary importance to not just the way that companies run today, but also in the future, and indeed increasingly, I think, also to the broader international community. This has obviously been thrown into tremendous relief through the European crisis, and it will look set to run for many more years to come, I think. The main differences, I think, are that information has so changed. The way that information about the EU and what's happening here gets transmitted, interpreted. When I arrived, it was quite amusing, but there was nothing online. Can you imagine a Brussels with no information online? If you wanted to get or know what was on the European Parliament Committee agenda, you used to have to go down to the building, wait for an iron tea trolley to come out, and there would be stacks of agendas, all colour-coded, of course. I think in those days, each official language had its own colour, and you used to literally go and pick up a copy of the agenda from the tea trolley. Well, things have obviously changed enormously. There is, of course, the great volume of information available, and that makes our role as public affairs consultants a far more strategic one. It's about managing the information overload, which is very different to 20 years ago. It's also then about making sure we're interpreting and making sense of all that's out there, and indeed then providing far more strategic advice about what to do about it all and how to get your voice heard above the crowd.
What about the next 20 years? Will EU public affairs still be here in 20 years' time?
I believe yes. That's, of course, assuming that there still is a European Union. But I think whatever form the EU emerges from this Euro crisis from, it will still be there in some shape or form. So I do believe that in the next 20 years, we will still have public affairs activity in Brussels, as long as there are citizens, people, governments and businesses trying to interact, there will be public affairs. What it means in terms of our role, well, just as it's evolved over the past 20 years, you know, who knows quite how things will work out, but we will have some system still of finding regulation around areas like the environment, because air and rivers and water, they're all cross-border. There's no denying that. There will also be issues of competition, because there will always be bodies needed to help regulate commercial practices and competitive issues. Standards will always need developing. These things are just not going to go away. So I do believe that we will have a lot of public affairs activity where Europe has traditionally and will continue to lead in those sort of areas, environment, competition and standards. There will, of course, be the need to interact with other governments on regulation. And I think the whole future shape of our financial system, which we're currently shaping, that will need a lot of regulation revision going forward as well. So those are all areas which are very much alive and kicking. And then the bigger political pictures, issues such as energy, that can come down to very specific legislation, but the politics of energy beyond EU borders will continue to be huge. EU-Russia relations in that context, or the Middle East. So public affairs will evolve, I think, to looking at issues in a very wide context, not just around what used to be a dozen member states, and then 15 member states, and then 25, and then 27 member states. We are effectively already now having to assess the impacts of global trends, global crises, on what happens here. So accompanying our clients, I think, way beyond the borders of even the EU will be very critical. And that's why we think we as Fleischmann and as a global firm will be well positioned. And we spend a lot of time now trying to connect the dots with our colleagues around other parts of the globe to help get that bigger picture.
You mentioned one element of how public affairs has developed. You mentioned the need to connect the dots globally. So public affairs has clearly become more of a global discipline than it's been in the past. Are there other elements of the public affairs function which will be different in 20 years' time or even less than that?
Inevitably, new media has already changed and will continue to revolutionise, I think, the way that public affairs is delivered. We are already seeing pioneering so much of the impact of digital on public affairs and on how really opinions get shaped. And just as in the past, one could never separate policymakers from what they were reading in the newspapers, so, of course, they will be continually and increasingly influenced by what they're experiencing, reading and hearing through the online space. So I think that public affairs practices will really ramp up in terms of using the full potential of not just social media, but indeed what we are calling in a broader communications context, the whole integration of PESO, as we the acronym of paid media, but also earned media through commentary from currently what we would consider mainstream, important mainstream press, social media, shared and owned media, things like websites where you put out, obviously you use those tools to communicate your own messages out. So the paid, earned, shared, owned model will evolve. And with it, we will see, I think, a range of tools and channels for reinforcing opinion. I think visual content will be much more important. At the moment, public affairs has traditionally relied much more on understanding stakeholders' relationships and, at the end of the day, a lot of conferences and face-to-face meetings and those types of things. But increasingly, finding a way to get concise messages across in a sympathetic way using visual media will be very, very important. We're already starting to see that here. But I think we will find there's a whole generation of people who are not used to reading in order to get their information or to have opinions formed. They're used to watching clips, videos, etc., and that's how they form opinions. So we're going to have to move into quite a different space from where we've been in the last 20 years on that front.
So you mentioned new media, for instance, and presumably that represents an opportunity for public affairs and public affairs practitioners. But on the other side of the coin, the challenges facing the public affairs industry, what might they be over the next 20 years?
It's all part of the same dynamic, I think. The rapidly changing world, the fact that traditional borders are no longer traditional borders, where national regulators are having challenges, where European regulators are having challenges to really grasp the complexity and the speed at which issues are moving. And I think, therefore, the opportunities that there are with social media and with changing ways of opinion forming, there's also a challenge around that, which is how do you begin to see where it's coming from, influence it, captivate it. And I think we're going to see on that front in public affairs much more activism in it in a wider sense, political activism, social unrest, which we see. Look at what happened with the Middle East. Look at what potentially may be happening in parts of Europe now in terms of the power of social media in generating political activism and people expressing their views and opinions rather differently to the past. And I think we're going to find that governments are quite overwhelmed at times as to how to deal with this. And I think that public affairs consultants, where we are perhaps working with companies who may also be involved or targeted in some way, with governments who suddenly find themselves on the back foot, we will have to navigate a very, very complex and at some point could be a more aggressive public affairs environment, I think. Why I say this is I watch a lot of German news and followed over recent months the issue around the Stuttgart 21 plans for a massive new railway station in Stuttgart, making it a very central hub for German business, obviously, but also for civilians too. This went through 12 years of traditional democratic process of consultation at local and regional level. It was decided, but essentially a campaign very much bringing together activists from the environmental movement, from other citizens who were opposed to this building of this new station, which involved some construction work and trees coming down and that sort of thing. It led to the whole decision essentially being put on hold. So 12 years of democratic consultation, and yet there were people in front of cameras saying, we're here as the democratic voice of this debate. And you begin to think, well, hang on a minute, this is slightly changing what we understand as political process. In the end, what's happened out of that is that there was arbitration over 6 weeks, and then finally a recommendation when the new minister-president of Baden-Württemberg came in to hold a referendum. So it was a direct vote. And in fact, in the end, the majority did vote to continue with the project. So now it is going through. But essentially, all of this has completely changed the way that these types of decisions will get made in the future. People expect more direct representation. And even though we did have, through traditional democratic structures, government and civilian representation and many consultations, people somehow no longer feel that that's something they can relate to, I think. And so this type of direct political intervention and activism will come to bear on the way that a lot of political decisions get made in the future, I think.
So you mentioned how public opinion can, or will, or already has an impact on political decision-making, the political process. What about its impact on the practice of public affairs itself? How will it change the way we operate as public affairs professionals?
I think it will mean that we have to look beyond our traditional target audiences, that we have to bear in mind a much wider scope of stakeholder group, potential stakeholder group, which will be hard to map because people connect, as we know, through the internet in quite unusual ways and in terms of how movements can and pains can get orchestrated. So that's harder for us to anticipate, I think. So it will mean that we'll need to be extremely attentive, have a lot of antenna out, and be very flexible in the type of campaigns that we organise, less prescriptive, much more about dialogue and about trying to capture opinion, I think, and find ways to still make this relevant and distill it in a relevant way to decision makers who've got a lot on their plate, because there's still obviously a lot of scepticism about, oh, well, there's an awful lot of noise out there on the net, but do we really need to pay any attention to it? And I think we play an important role in first of all, trying to understand and interpret and also try and channel some of that noise. But in the meantime, also then make it relevant where we can see real issues emerging. And it will bring more uncertainty to the way that we can plan things. But on the other hand, that's pretty much the way of the world at the moment.
And a last question, where will FH Brussels be in 20 years' time?
Well, FH Brussels will hopefully still be in Brussels, given all I've said before. I think FH Brussels will have by then built on its already emerging hub role within a European context for the firm. I think it will probably be one of those centres that will be linked up on a daily basis with other regional public affairs centres. I think there will be round-the-clock communication with our colleagues, both going towards the Washington and Ottawa and probably down to Brasilia and other places, but then also at the same time we're in the middle going east as well. So I view public affairs in Brussels as being an exciting prospect, not least because of the geography of Europe, where we are in a real-time world. That puts us in a place of advantage, I think. Point of advantage. So I have great hopes that we will be certainly here, hopefully still very strong in our position, in the respect that we have, the reputation that we enjoy, the people that are on board, but that we remain always dynamic and flexible regardless of however big we are in the future.
Thanks very much, Karen.
Thank you.